welcome in. It is the Monday, January 13 edition of the NFL Spotlight Show. We had Wild Card Weekend, of course, on Saturday and Sunday. It wraps up here tonight with the Vikings and Rams in Arizona to wrap up the games. We have the full divisional round schedule. The games, some of them were lopsided. The Sunday night game was outstanding with a game-winning field goal by the Washington Commanders. We will talk about all of those games. We also had a big coaching hire in the NFL, and we are going to reveal who will be our spotlight guest coming out over here tomorrow on the show. That will be announced over here on the back end. Let me bring in my good friend Ben Allen, who, by the way, Ben is 5-0 so far on his DraftKings picks that we did on Friday. I am 3-2. And we, of course, have our picks here coming up tonight as well as Ben looks for a 6-0 sweep. Ben, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. I don't make a ton of picks, but when I do, I get way too invested in them. So we're going to see how it goes tonight. Very, very big fan of Matthew Stafford, 2 touchdowns tonight. He had 4 against them earlier in the season. So I'm feeling okay about those. But anyway, enough about my side hustle things that we do there. Let's talk about the great games that we saw this weekend. And the playoffs are upon us, and every single team that was the higher seed, for the exception of the Commanders, ended up winning. And because of that, we actually already know what the matchups are going to be, minus whether it's going to be the Eagles versus the Vikings or Rams. So my biggest thing, you know, is I just want to know what your biggest takeaways were. What did you see this weekend?
I mean, let's just start off that Sunday night game because I think it was the best game out of all these games. And it's now the second straight year where the number 2 overall pick rookie quarterback takes his team, who nobody thought would be able to do it last year with CJ Stroud and the Texans, who surprised everybody. This year, of course, it's Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. And it's similar situations where it's new head coach, defensive minded, and the rookie quarterback looks like an 8-year veteran out there. Under the lights, doesn't make a difference. And Jaden Daniels was so poised in this game, and he's making things happen here for a Commanders team, an organization that had not won a playoff game in 19 years. And we've been saying it for a long time, but this is now truly a new era in Washington where you have the new coach, you have the new GM, you have the new owners, you have the new quarterback, and it's all working out to a point where I think Commanders fans are waking up this morning like, is this real life right now? And it is. And you guys are going to be playing on Saturday night versus those Detroit Lions, the best team in the NFC this year. But it's been just so fun to watch this team. And it goes on over here going into next week. On the flip side, the Buccaneers had their chances here in this game. It was a home game, but once again, Todd Bowles, for whatever reason, he's one of those coaches in the NFL. There's a few of those in this league who struggle with timeout management. And sometimes it feels like he's like thinks it's going to carry over to the next game or something. He had a couple of those moments here on Sunday night, and it cost them this game as well. There was that crucial turnover in the second half where Baker Mayfield, I'm not sure if the ball was supposed to go to Jalen McMillan or supposed to be a fake, whatever it was, Washington got the ball back. They once again went for it on fourth down, and they converted with that Terry McLaurin touchdown. And we got the Zane Gonzalez doink and in to send Washington into the divisional round. It was by far the best game of year. But I think there will be some murmurs over here going into these next couple of days about Tampa Bay and their head coach in Todd Bowles. Until Tampa Bay goes out and says he's coming back and he's safe, we're going to be keeping a close eye on this one simply because this was not necessarily their choice for head coach. If people recall, Bruce Arians abruptly retired in March. It was during the owners' meetings, and he handpicked Todd Bowles to be his successor, and that was basically it. So we will see what happens over here. They do have an offensive coordinator in Liam Cohen, who is getting interest around the NFL. Previously, it was about a decade ago, the Buccaneers had Lovie Smith as their head coach. They had their offensive coordinator, I'm forgetting his name over here, but they didn't want to lose him, so they elevated him to head coach and abruptly fired Lovie Smith. So we will be watching that very, very closely over here in Tampa Bay these next couple of days. But that was by far the most entertaining game. As for the other games over here that happened, Ben, let's stick with the NFC. The Packers and Eagles, that was the middle game on Sunday. This was a very physical game, but this is the Eagles' top-ranked defense. They dominated once again. They held Green Bay scoreless until, I believe, late in the third quarter. They forced 4 takeaways, 3 Jordan Love interceptions. Of course, there was the kickoff, which was fumbled, which I thought Keyshawn Nixon recovered it for whatever reason. It was announced as the Eagles got the ball back, and they never looked back in that game. This is a defense that is led by Vic Fangio. We've mentioned a couple of times here this year, but his players are all in with his messaging. And the reason I bring that up is because last year, Vic Fangio was in Miami, and his players did not agree with his messaging. So a completely different team over here, a completely different defense here, led by Vic Fangio. That's been a big part of the Philadelphia Eagles this year. We all know about Saquon Barkley and AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts and the great offensive line, but this defense has been the X factor all year long. And once again, it showed out over here on Sunday versus the Packers. As for Green Bay, we know they pay their quarterback big money in the offseason. They just had their receivers dropping like flies. Of course, Christian Watson, he tore his ACL last week. Jaden Reed got injured in this game. They had really just a bunch of receivers falling out in this game. And at one point, it was really Dontavian Wicks and Bo Melton basically left for them over here. So that was tough for them. Josh Jacobs was a great free agent signing. He really kept them in this game, but it did not end up working out. And Philly gets the win and back to the drawing board there in Green Bay. But I don't expect any changes there when it comes to any of their coaches, coordinators, and any of those type of people there. Moving on, Bills defeating the Broncos. This, aside from the first possession, I think, which is usually scripted, the Bills defense was outstanding throughout this game. That was the only points that the Broncos scored in this game. And then the Bills offense, Josh Allen using his feet, using his arm, getting all his receivers involved. Khalil Shakir, Matt Collins had a big catch. Dalton Kincaid played a big role in this game. And of course, James Cook, who had over 100 yards already in the first half, he's going to be eligible for a contract this offseason. He's trying to show out over here in the playoffs, another one of those big Pro Bowl snubs. But I do want to talk about the Broncos here for a second, because we all expected the Bills to win this game. They took care of business. But this is a Broncos team that really impressed me this year, getting into the playoffs, even though they had over $90 million in dead money on their salary cap. That is a lot of money that will free up over here in 2025. It's a team that has their head coach and quarterback combo of Sean Payton and Bo Nix. It's a team with a lot of really good young talent, many of whom they already extended here over the last calendar year. That is Pat Surtain, Quinn Meinerz, their guard, Jonathan Cooper, the pass rusher, Garrett Bowles, the left tackle. They're going to extend Nick Benito, who was in Defensive Player of the Year conversation at one point this year, and Zach Allen, who's really become one of the better interior defensive linemen in the NFL. This is a team for the first time in a long time that will have hope going into 2025. Ravens defeating the Steelers on Saturday. It was once again the Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry show. And once again, the Steelers, who had a really, really good start to the year, it looks like they maybe found their quarterback for the next couple of years in Russell Wilson. They finished the year on a 5-game losing streak. Many people are calling for the Mike Tomlin firing. I'm here to tell you right now, they have no plans on moving on from Mike Tomlin. And if they did, and if they foolishly did, I guarantee you one of the five teams who still have not hired a head coach will undo all their plans so far and try to hire Mike Tomlin. He is not expected to go anywhere. Baltimore and Buffalo next week is by far the game of the week. That will be Sunday at 6:30 on CBS. And then lastly, Texans defeating the Chargers. I wish I mentioned this last week, but the Chargers and the Rams, for the matter of fact, have been going through a lot with the LA wildfires. I know the Chargers a little bit further south, but they had their players and their families in a lot of disarray throughout the week, and I do believe that kind of affected them as well. Obviously, you do not want to make any excuses over here, but the entire element of having all of that, I know Joey Bosa mentioned it himself, where he was like, there was a point where I was sleeping and I got the, you know, evacuation alert. Like, there was a lot of things going on over there with the players as well, but a very poor performance. Justin Herbert throws more interceptions in this game 4 than he had all season, and CJ Stroud, it took a while for it to finally happen. There was that botched snap and then completion to Xavier Hutchinson, which kind of woke them up. But they finally kind of looked like the Texans of last year a little bit on offense, and their defense from the pass rush with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, and then their two shutdown corners with Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley, who's an all-pro this year. They were outstanding as well, and I don't think that is going to be a layup matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs next week, who are going to be on 20-plus days of rest over here, and the Texans coming off a big home win against the Chargers. That will be a fun matchup to kick off the divisional round on Saturday.
Well, they didn't make the playoffs, but the Patriots did make waves on Sunday when they announced their 16th head coach in franchise history. Mike Vrabel becomes the first coach hired during this cycle, agreeing to become the coach to the team that he won three Super Bowls with and is a Hall of Fame inductee, as we saw a couple years ago when he was still the head coach of the Titans and praising that team. Do you think it was Patriots all the way for him, or was he actually entertaining other teams?
I mean, Mike Vrabel definitely had options out there. The Jets and the Bears and the Saints, all Jets and Bears spoke to him. Saints wanted to speak to him. There was actually a bit of on Saturday, some efforts made by one of those teams to try to see if you would have interest in potentially taking the job right now because they heard about the Patriots trying to close in on a deal. But this was Mike Vrabel or nothing for the Patriots, really. Ever since they moved on from Jerod Mayo, when they knew they would move on from Jerod Mayo before that final week 18 game, which they beat the Buffalo Bills. And look at the way they handled the entire search, Ben. I mean, their search was Pep Hamilton, Byron Leftwich, then Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson in a virtual interview. I mean, that was two guys just to get the Rooney Rule out of the way. Ben Johnson just to see what's so impressive about this guy. And then Mike Vrabel, because that's the guy we wanted all along. So the NFL has been trying to slow down the entire coaching process. Robert Kraft said, the heck with that. We're going to hire Mike Vrabel right now. We'll see if the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which is the head of the entire Rooney Rule, tries to open an investigation over here. I don't think it'll make a difference. If they have to fine Robert Kraft $1 million, he would not care. So that's kind of where we are with this. But this was Mike Vrabel or nothing for the Patriots. And they now go from one former Patriots linebacker to another former Patriots linebacker. And this is a player who obviously was great for the Patriots when he was a player. And now, of course, as a coach, they've seen him a lot. I mean, he was the guy who eliminated the New England Patriots in 2019 in what would be the final game for Tom Brady. Robert Kraft saw the great work that he did in Tennessee early on, being the number one seed, getting to an AFC championship game. It is the way he handles the clock. He's probably one of the better ones. We just spoke about Todd Bowles. Mike Vrabel is the complete opposite of that. The way he gets his players all prepared, the fact that he was in Cleveland this year and basically got a bird's eye view of everything from the front office structure to coaching staffs and being around everyone and just, you know, seeing it from afar and not having to be so involved in the game, that I think also helped Mike Vrabel as well. But we will see now if Mike Vrabel is able to add some more people here, whether it's to its coaching staff, which I know there are some people like a Shane Bowen of the Giants, their defensive coordinator. I know Mike is very close with him. My understanding is that the Giants would like to keep Shane Bowen despite the struggling season they had. Ryan Cowden, who is also of the Giants, who was the interim GM in Tennessee, a very close friend of Mike Vrabel. There are some rumblings out there that he wants to bring him over to New England to join Elliott Wolf in the front office. But this all played a role in getting Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. They told him, you could do some more stuff over here. Bring in some of your own people if you're able to. And this is going to be your show over here. And I had a few people tell me that the Patriots really wanted to do this last year. But of course, they already had Jerod Mayo in waiting under contract that he will be the successor to Bill Belichick. So they really couldn't do that unless they were going to buy out the entire contract. They gave Jerod Mayo 1 year. They were not impressed, and then they fired him. And now, a year later, they are, I guess, lucky that nobody hired Mike Vrabel last year. Mike Vrabel was the finalist for the Chargers if they didn't hire Jim Harbaugh, but of course, Jim got that job. So he was available, and they made sure to get this done right now. Exactly 7 days after firing Jerod Mayo, they go out and hire Mike Vrabel, and it's a new era here in New England. They will have a press conference here today at noon Eastern at Gillette Stadium.
And finally, in the interesting news bucket, Chargers Khalil Mack, who is set to become a free agent this offseason, says that he is mulling retirement. Mack is coming off a year that resulted in just 6 sacks, tying the worst of his career, but still provided 49 pressures and appears that he can still provide an impact at a high level. Do you really think that Mac is considering retirement, or is this more just reacting to a frustrating loss in the playoffs?
I went out to just to watch the video of him saying this, and he does sound like somebody who's like, I really don't know where I am right now. I'm going to talk to my family. It's my first time in my 11-year career where I'm going to be a free agent, so that's a new thing for me. But he also mentioned, which I know most people didn't pick up on this, but he did say he would like to be back with the Chargers. He enjoyed being with the Chargers. He's enjoyed his time over there. He loves this new team with Jim Harbaugh. So he does, if he does come back, it does sound like he wants to be with the Chargers if they want him back. But I can tell you this right now, there would be a plethora of teams who would have interest in Khalil Mack. Just think of, you know, the Cleveland Browns. They've always been trying to find somebody across from Myles Garrett. The Detroit Lions, they've been trying to find somebody across from Aiden Hutchinson. So there would be many teams out there who would be interested in a Khalil Mack should he want to continue playing. And listen, he had moments throughout this year, if you watch Chargers games, where he still had that burst. Maybe it's not the exact same burst that he had when he was in Oakland and Chicago, but it's not a player who is, you know, a scrub in this league and is, you know, washed. So he's a player who could still do it, but family matters, his children matter, and that's basically what he said will be here in his locker room clean out on Sunday after that disappointing loss on Saturday. But he did mention he loves the Chargers, he loves being there, and if he does come back, he does want to be back there. And keep this in mind, Ben, last year the Chargers had four players who had gigantic cap numbers. That was Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Khalil Mack, and Joey Bosa. The first one that they brought back and made sure to bring back was Khalil Mack. So he is somebody who is very valued over there in LA. So he will become a free agent this offseason. We'll see if he decides to move on, if he decides to test the market. I think it would be wise of him not to announce anything over here and just become a free agent in March and see what the market has to offer before making any decisions over there. All right, that would do it here for our Monday, January 13 edition of the NFL Spotlight Show. We're going to reveal who will be our special spotlight guest over here tomorrow. We will be joined by Detroit Lions, I can now proudly say, all-pro safety Kirby Joseph. When we recorded with Kirby, he was not yet an all-pro. He was the biggest Pro Bowl snub. And I can safely say right now, this was probably one of the best interviews that we've done over here on the Spotlight series. Kirby Joseph is not afraid to open his mouth. He had a lot of things to say about the fact he was a Pro Bowl snub, about this Detroit Lions team, the defense, and much, much more. He does call out some people as well. So it is one of the more underrated safeties in this league. He rightly got into the All-Pro team on Friday on the first team, and he joined us over here this week on the NFL Spotlight Show. Led the league with 9 interceptions, a big part of that Detroit Lions defense, a former third-round pick, another big draft pick that was a success there in Detroit. He joined us here on the show, and that comes up over here tomorrow on NFL Spotlight with a lot more NFL talk as well. See you all here tomorrow morning.